Service begins with the introit on your white bulletin. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. For he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. For he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Grant, we implore you, Almighty God, that we, who for our evil deeds are continually afflicted, may mercifully be relieved by the passion of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Holy Wednesday is from the 62nd and 63rd chapters of Isaiah. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, "Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. The epistles from the first chapter of Revelation. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. This is the word of the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. The Holy Gospel according to the Passion of St. Luke, the 22nd and 23rd chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors. "For the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the man who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them the third time, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and decree. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In 116. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. This is Christ by man rejected. Hear my soul, your Savior, see. He's the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proof I see sufficient of it is the true and faithful word. Tell me all who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like this? This affair his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were ways to wound him, none would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. It's the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God.
Here we have a firm foundation. Hear the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation. Is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded, who on him their hope hath built.
Our sermon text is from Luke 22, verse 69. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Hebrew phrase, Sheb Limini, literally is interpreted as sit at my right hand, Sheb Limini. It is found in Psalm 110, and it was quoted by Jesus earlier in St. Luke, back in chapter 20, verses 40 to 44. At this point, he is stumping the Pharisees with a question. I quote, and he, Jesus, said to them, how can they say that the Christ is the Son of God? How can they say that Christ is the Son of David? Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Yahweh, the proper name for God in the Old Testament, commands David's Lord, which in Hebrew is the title Adonai. So God commands David's Lord, sit at my right hand, Sheb Limini. Now the Pharisees understood that one of David's descendants was to be the Christ, or Messiah. Nevertheless, they didn't understand that this human descendant was also to be the divine Son of God. The passage from Psalm 110 clearly teaches that there was to be an enthronement of the human man so that he would receive the exercise of all the divine majesty and power. The theologians call this the communication of attributes. He is at the right hand. The right hand is the place of power. And thus, the phrase, to sit at my right hand, has even become a title of the Messiah. The Messiah has come to be known as the Sheb Limini, as if it was all one word. When Isaiah 52, verse 13 says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. It is a reference to the very enthronement of Jesus at the right hand, the hand of power. Well, in today's Passion from St. Luke, Jesus is taken to the Jewish council of the Sanhedrin at daybreak in order to confirm the death sentence from the meeting, which they had illegally held during the night. And so it is at this second session, a few moments later, that they confirm Jesus' fate. He is asked two questions. First, if you are the Christ, tell us. And the second, are you then the Son of God? Now, in regard to the first question, Jesus needs to make a clear confession of who he is. The gathered Sanhedrin thought of the Messiah or the Christ as a purely nationalistic and political savior. They considered the Christ to be some kind of revolutionary leader who would punish the Romans and give self-rule back to the Jews. Now, although these Jews hated the Romans, they were also quite practical religious leaders who knew that their present authority was a result of Roman permission. Therefore, they didn't want anyone causing a ruckus and messing up their advantageous position. If Jesus had simply answered yes to their question about if he was the Christ, he would have admitted to them that he was a political revolutionary. Jesus desired to clear up their misunderstanding. As he said, well, but he knew, because he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. So, though he's going to clear things up, yes, he knows where they stand. Therefore, Jesus gives them this answer. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Jesus' answer alludes to the Shevlimini, the sit at my right hand of Psalm 110. The kind of Christ which Jesus professes to be is not an earthly king sitting on an earthly throne, but one who sits at the right hand of the power of God. Jesus is that kind of Christ. He is both true God and man, and as true man he will receive enthronement and there will exercise divine power. Jesus professes one more important detail. When will this enthronement happen? Jesus says, hereafter. The end of Jesus' humiliation is quickly drawing to a close. And once they condemn him and he is crucified, hereafter Jesus will reign. The second question now is easily answered. Are you then the Son of God? Jesus answered, you rightly say that I am. They condemn Jesus and take him to Pilate. Now I have explained Psalm 110 verse 1. But Jesus, back in Luke 20, when he was talking to the Pharisees the first time, he cited both verse 1 and verse 2. The context for this enthronement certainly fits Jesus' situation. I will read it again. Psalm 110, verse 1 and 2. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Here by his word, and hereafter through his death, Jesus will be enthroned and he will rule in the midst of his enemies. These Jewish leaders are, well, not really in charge. Though they are asking the questions and issuing a ruling, Jesus is ruling over his enemies. We believe this now by faith, but then the epistle says from Revelation, behold, he is coming with clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. This is Holy Week, in which we meditate upon our Lord's passion. His suffering and death is what earned the human nature of Jesus his rule at the right hand. Hereafter, we know that Jesus' arm has brought us salvation. We are forgiven and rescued from our sins. We gather to praise our Christ who has trodden the winepress alone with blood sprinkled on his garments. And we pray, grant, we implore you, Almighty God, that we who for our evil deeds are continually afflicted may be relieved by the passion of your only begotten Son. The teaching of Christ's atonement has led to artistic depictions of Jesus as ruling from the cross. Both of ours, the processional cross as well as the one up front, are Jesus reigning from the cross. One of the thieves recognized Jesus as the Christ, and he cried out, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The centurion saw what had happened and said, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And John's Gospel, chapter 12 from Monday, told us that even among the rulers, many believed in him because of the Pharisees, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Our Jesus is the Sheblimini. He is the one who sits at the right hand. He is the one who is true God and true man. He is the one who rules from the cross. And hereafter, you will see him. What are we to do? Believe in this Christ, the Son of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast given Thine only begotten Son to bear our cross and to make atonement for us on the cross. And we pray Thee, give us grace to put our whole trust in Thy redeeming love. And grant that our faith in Thee may be strengthened, our souls comforted, so that we be enabled to resist all the assaults of sin. Protect us against the devices of the evil one, and in all temptations keep us by Thy Holy Spirit, and help us to walk according to Thy word, that being guarded and defended by Thy mighty power, we may never depart from Thy ways, and in the end be saved by Thy grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The offertory is in your white bulletin. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. On the tree of the cross you gave salvation to mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again. And that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree might be overcome, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. Amen.
Accept, O Lord, we beseech thee, the thank offerings we have made, and mercifully grant that we may receive with pious sentiments what we celebrate in the mystery of the Passion of our Lord. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I will receive the bread of heaven and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my soul shall be healed. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul unto everlasting life. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for me, preserve my body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Come. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. What has passed our lips as food, O Lord, may we possess in purity of heart. What is given us in time be our healing for eternity. The communion psalm is in your white bulletin. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with
and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. Pour the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Grant to our mind, Almighty God, that by the temporal death of your Son, represented in these adorable mysteries, we may trust that you have given to us eternal life through the same Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Bow down your heads before God. Look down, we beseech you, O Lord, on this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was contented to be betrayed and to be delivered into the hands of wicked men and to suffer the torment of the cross, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.